I would encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We'd like to look at some things this morning in our two lessons about Daniel, who he was and the time in which he lived, and some lessons we can draw from him that might encourage us, might build us up, and may strengthen us today. Over the past several months, in talking with various people, when they express their concerns, it varies from their health situation to COVID to their freedom they have or used to have and don't have anymore. Inflation, high prices, distrust among people, the way society is pushing for a turn from God to worldliness, the way society, many are pushing for a turn from a family structure to a society and governmental structure to rule our thoughts and our minds. People are concerned. Many are struggling with that. Now, there are a lot of people also struggling with other things, with spiritual issues that they question their faith. They question whether or not their service to God is worth it, or whether or not they really need to be trying to serve God as they do because of all the forces around them. And not only that, there are people who are questioning life, and they're realizing the value of life and what it's like to be able to breathe and live, and questioning why they suffer like they do. You know, over the years, attending services here at Beulah and other places, oftentimes you hear someone say, "It's good to see you," and we shake hands, the whole time up to the last 3 years or so, you're always welcome with a handshake, basically, from just about everyone, and sometime a hug, but it was always a smile and a handshake, and good to see you, good to have you here. Well, I tell you, it's good to see you today. It's good to be here today. And when you think about Barry, you say, "It's good to see you, and it's good to be here today." As time goes on, that brings on a whole new meaning, doesn't it? When I was younger and we had all those old folks that were late 50s and early 60s and mid 60s, and there were some that was 85 and 90, but I didn't realize how much effort it took for them to get up and get into their vehicle and get to services. And even then, when I was young, you know, there was hardly any air conditioning in any vehicles. You had the 2-2 if you had a pickup truck, and 4-4 if you had a car, four windows down or whatever for the air conditioning. And so those old people would get up and drive to services on dusty roads. And it was amazing. They could sing out and so good, and voices so clear. Even they'd gone through a dust storm almost, with someone in front of them kicking up dust in the middle of the summertime. Remember how those dirt roads used to be around here? And so they were determined to serve God even as they were old, and they didn't feel good, and they fought situations with arthritis and sickness and heart problems and all kind of things. But they would show up and so glad to be at services, and they'd say, "Good to see you," and we'd say, "Good to see you." But now I realize how good it was to see them, and so we appreciate life. So this morning, let's look at Daniel a little bit and think about some of the things that we can learn from him, a lot of lessons we can learn from Daniel, and we see that the Bible itself is very important from Genesis all the way through Revelation 22, the fact that it is God's Word. We know what 2 Timothy 3, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says concerning when Paul wrote to Timothy about the importance of Scripture. It's from God, and the importance of it and what it can do for us, what we can draw from it. So the Scriptures are important from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation. The content therein tells us who we are, why we're here, where we came from, who God is, what our responsibilities are while we're here. It tells us about the people before us and where we're at now, and what God's Son did for us, and the whole plan to redeem us from sin, and how we're expected to live, and how to treat our wives and our husbands and our family and our neighbor, and how to train our children. The Bible is a book within itself that's a guideline for life if we just follow it. So the problems we have today with people that want to take Christianity away, and they want to take God's word away, and they want everything to be their way rather than God's way, they'll be reckoning with God one day. He'll reckon with them in the day of judgment because they refuse to listen. So when people put pressure, and many times it's a small amount of people compared to the majority, who put so much pressure and stir up so much dust and cause so much problems, and they make it look big, and they get away with doing things that people will be put in jail for that were serving God. They get away with those things, and they stir up things so they can subdue people's faith in God and their reliance on God, and subdue people's determination to be good people of who God is, who God wants us to be, and who God says we are. He says, I'm a man, and I'm a man. He says, she's a woman, she's a woman, and that's it. He says that men and women are to serve Him, and that's it. Not the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Not to go out and enjoy just the pleasures of sin for a season, but serve Him. And so Daniel, that we're looking at this morning in these two lessons, he caught himself in a situation there under Cyrus and the others we're going to look at. He was in a situation where there was a decree made that they would not pray to anyone except to him. And Daniel knew God. And Daniel prayed to God even when the government, the king, said, you can't do it, you're going to be punished. He went ahead and did it. And he didn't go hide. He went up to his room and opened the window and he prayed. Three times a day, they could see him, they could hear him. And so when it gets to the point that people are trying to subdue my ability to serve God and your ability to serve God, and exercise that by our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our mannerism, then there's a problem that we've got to deal with. Daniel dealt with it by faith. I believe that we need to deal with it by faith today. By faith. And we know a lot more about it than Daniel did, because Christ hadn't come at that time. Now He's come. We know He came 2,000 years ago and lived and died for our sins. So we not only have faith, we have the assurance, we have the proof that it happened, and we live in hope of heaven. So why would we let things stop us from serving God? Whether it be a backache or a headache, Or an issue in a family that's a health problem, why don't we let that stop us? Now, it may slow us up for a time while we're caring for one another. It may knock us back a step or two, but we keep going, don't we? That's what it's all about. We keep going. We keep moving. I don't want to get too much stuff into this that I ought not to get into this and chase rabbits this morning, but some of the Farleys and the Tootons and a few others here can remember Jerry. And I bring this up about Jason. He had leukemia. He's not the only child that's had leukemia. There's been millions. But we dealt with that. And families at Beulah and other places dealt with things, catastrophic things in their life. And you see it and you wonder, how do they put up with it? How do they deal with it? I see that in people's lives. But anyway, it happened that during the course of that time that we were between congregations. I was preaching different places, but not at a regular place. And when he got sick and working a full-time job. Well, after the first two or three years when it was so bad there, well, about a year and a half, really, a brother called me from a congregation in Coleman County. He said, do you want to come over and work with us and preach? And I said, you want me to come on Sunday morning or Sunday night? He said, we want you to come all the time. And I said, well, I can't do that. He said, well, we need to talk. And that's why I just can't do that. There's just too much going on. Too much going on. That's what I told him. And he said, Charles, I may not understand what you're going through, but I know a little bit about the situation. He said, you need to think this through. He said, you've already been preaching the gospel. You need to continue to do it. And he said, you don't need to make excuses. He said, I'm going to call you back in a few days. And in a few days he did. He called back. He said, have you made your mind to come over and talk to us? And I said, I hadn't made my mind up yet. I said, I'm struggling with this. I don't think I can do it. He said, I don't think I can hold up to do it. He said, yeah, you can. And I said, well, let me give me a few months or a while. And I said, then something will come. He said, no. He said, you need to do this. And so in a few days he called back and he said, so here's the thing. you make excuse today, Charles, because you're going through issues and you're having a hard time, you're going to keep making that excuse. And the longer you go and the further you go, any little thing that comes up is going to be an excuse. It's going to be a reason for you not to do it. So he said, why do you want to wait? Just go ahead and step up and do it. And then if it gets to be too hard, you can take a break. And I followed his advice. But isn't it easy sometimes just to turn our backs and walk away and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to deal with that. I don't think I can do that this week. It's just going to be too much. We just can't work in our schedule. But you know, Daniel, there was threatening there about the prayers, and he was able to pray to God even when the pressure was on him. People were trying to disclose about him to the king and get him taken out of the way. So let's look at him and talk about some things about Daniel now this morning in this lesson and the following lesson. Romans 15 and verse 4 tells us concerning the scriptures that things that were written aforetime are written for our learning, and that the examples there from the Old Testament, they are there for what? For our learning, for our admonition, for our warnings. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. So it's good that we study about Daniel and others in the Old Testament to draw some good lessons for us today to help us. So Daniel is a good Old Testament example for us, and he's identified then as a prophet. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, in Mark 13 and verse 14, he's identified as a prophet. And in the book of Daniel, we see that the prophecies that he made, at least some of the prophecies he made, both concerning the kingdoms of men, how long they'll last and who's going to subdue others and when they'll pass away and that they will pass away. And then we see his prophecies about the kingdom of God. There'll be a kingdom that will never pass away. And so we see that in Daniel. And it's a good lesson for us to see that the words of Daniel lets us know that he went through a lot in his life, but yet he could say the kingdoms of men are going to pass. They're going to be subdued and they're going to go to another one, but the kingdom of God will last forever. And we need to think about that today when we think about people that try to subdue us and say, you can't live a straight life. You can't do that. It's just not popular. Well, that's going to pass, folks. That's going to pass. Good will overcome evil eventually. So we need to do as Daniel did. And we need to listen to him and follow his lead. So the time frame, we look at Daniel, the book of Daniel, covers three ruling powers. The reign of Nebuchadnezzar from about 605 to 561 B.C. And that's where we take off there in the first chapter, learning about him. And then it covers 556 to about 539 B.C. under Nabonidus and Belshazzar during that time frame. And then we see that during the reign of Cyrus. So in his lifetime, it covered a time frame chronologically of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Cyrus. So we go from 605 down to about 536. And then we see the book of Daniel is divided up. And Daniel, he was in different areas and different times there. And so there were some languages that were different. There could have been a language barrier, but apparently Daniel knew some about both or enough about both to understand them. And I don't want to assume too much, but the structure there, the languages from chapter 1 through 2:4 and chapter 8 through about chapter 12 there is in Hebrew. And chapter 2, verse 4, through about chapter 7, verse 28, was written in Aramaic to begin with. Now, I'm told that by Bible scholars. I didn't just come up that on my own. I read that from historical accounts and understanding that from the Bible. But so Daniel lived in a time that there were some differences in languages that he had to face. And so we fast forward to 2022, and in the United States, when we were growing up, I was growing up, and many of you were growing up in the late 40s, early in the 50s, up till now. It was mostly English all the way around, wasn't it? No one ever thought about teaching anything but English as grammar in school. You had reading, writing, and arithmetic. English. English. And we learned the language. And people from other countries learned English. Many of them did because they knew that was that they wanted to do that. But so we leave. But now we're in a situation. What was Daniel in? Here is the Hebrew, in the Arabic. And today, in a melting pot, you can go to a small town, rural town in the South, or a small town out West, and it's not going to be just all English-speaking people. There are going to be some various languages spoken, and some of those people can speak two or three languages. And sometimes I wish I could, because, you know, sometimes you get around a place and going to the doctor. Going to the doctor now. Some of the physicians and some of the people that work with you, they are from other places, and that they speak English, but they don't speak good English. And they can speak better if they were speaking their native tongue. So we're in a situation where there are various languages around us, but we have mostly English. But then Daniel, look where he was. And so Daniel, as we read about him, the Bible says it means God is my judge. He lived about 600 BC in that area. And he was the main person and the author of the book of Daniel. So during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was taken from Jerusalem and held captive in Babylon from around 604 to 605 BC. So we see the captivity. So I think I've got it tough. Well, Daniel was taken into captivity. And he was taken there, and he was held captive in Babylon. About 604, 605, taken there at about that time frame. And so Daniel, while he was in captivity, he rose to a responsible position under King Nebuchadnezzar and continued in the reign into the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, who conquered Babylon in 539 B.C. So Babylon, when you look at Babylon and you look at the things that happened in there, and look at Cyrus, the king of Persia, and Nebuchadnezzar, you see that Daniel was in a situation in his life when it could have got very tough. Things were changing. But Daniel dealt with it. And I hope for the next 10 minutes and then the 45 minutes or so in the next lesson, we can see in Daniel's life the value of being steadfast in serving God, the value of prayer, the value of not giving up hope, the value of not letting other people scare us to death and stop us from serving God, the value of not letting things around us crowd us out from our faith. And that can happen, folks. That can happen. And it does happen sometimes. Well, let's look at Daniel. Some lessons from him. I could probably, before I put the next point on the lesson, just point to Barry and say, Barry, what's the next point? He'd probably tell us. Because we've studied this many times, or anyone in the audience this morning, the worship service. You know these points as well as I do. But lessons from Daniel. So we're not going to probably learn anything new, but we're going to review some things we already know, because today, where we see it, and the things that's going on around us, we need these lessons. I do. Maybe it'll help you. So Daniel had faith and trusted in God. Chapter 6 and verse 23. Let's look at that verse. Verse 23 of Daniel chapter 6. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found in him because he believed in his God. Now Daniel had already been put in the lion's den. Now he's pulled out. But what was it? He had faith. He believed in God. So many of you have been sick. You've had problems. You've had issues. You've had family problems. The people being sick in your family. Parents to take care of. And so there's things going on in your life. Some of you had to have surgery. Think about that. Where's our faith? We need to believe God. Even when he was put in the lion's den, he believed in God. Daniel prayed to God. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Let's look at that. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that was that there could be no prayer offered to anyone except to the king. You can't pray to any gods whatsoever, or to the true and living God. Just the decree is you can't do it, just to the king. You can only honor the king. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So here's a young man that was prayerful from his early days. And when the decree came down that you're not going to pray to anyone, you're not going to offer up to anyone except the king, Daniel knew that, well, I'm not going to obey man if it's going to break my relationship with God and what I need to be doing with him. He knew he needed to pray. Look at chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. What about that? You know, I have things I need to confess to God because I'm human. I'm forgiven. I'm a Christian. But I make mistakes. And I need to confess to God and ask him for forgiveness, don't you? We need to pray to God. Not just for that, but to pray to God and petition him. He already knows what we need. He already knows all about us. But the thing is, we can talk to God the Father, who is the creator, the giver, and the sustainer of life, in whom we live and move and have our very being. Who else can we pray to with confidence and faith and assurance and take our burdens to the Lord and leave it there? We can't. We can talk to others, but they're human also. Sometimes it's good to get it off our chest, but if we get it off our chest talking to God, and then we petition him and have the right faith and hope and trust in him, then what does it do? It'll do for us what it did for Daniel. He prayed to God. Daniel purposed in his heart to do the right thing. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's look at that. Purpose in his heart. We need the purpose in our heart. The thing is that if we don't make the decision to do the right thing, then we're not going to ever do the right thing. And if we're apprehensive about doing the right thing, we may go astray. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief and the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Draw up to 2022. People are pushing that your child would be taught in elementary school that they need to make a decision if they're a boy or a girl, or if they're both. That's nothing but the devil. That's nothing but sin. That's nothing but evil. We need to purpose in our heart to teach our children to identify things that are wrong and help them to understand that this is not right. This is who you are. This is who God made you. And you believe in God. And you do what's right for you. But people try to put pressure on you. See, they requested that he defile himself with this wine. Well, look around. It hadn't been long ago a certain family restaurant would not serve alcoholic beverages. And now you can go in a family restaurant and sit down, and what do? Right there you can order alcoholic beverages. A few years ago you couldn't buy alcoholic beverages on Sunday in many towns. And now the ones that have voted wet, most of them you can buy it after a certain time. You can buy alcoholic beverages in certain towns that you couldn't buy it in 25 years ago. What is that? That's just simply people changing to do what society wants that's against God. That's what Daniel was facing. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile him. Daniel had been chosen to be a part of the king's court, and this is what they wanted them to be, and this is what they wanted them to have, and they were going to be set apart and be different. And Daniel said, look, let's just try this, and I'm not going to partake of it, but if you'll watch, I'll eat what I eat, and we'll be just as good as, we'll look just as good as they do. See, Daniel knew right. He purposed in his heart to do right. Very quickly. Daniel did not compromise. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 17. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 17. He did not compromise. There's the plot against Daniel. It pleased Darius to settle with the kingdom's 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the princes might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satrap, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought in setting him over the whole realm. And it goes on down, and we see that Daniel would not compromise himself. And in verse 5-7 says, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, and all the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. So the decree had been made, the petition had been made, the law had been set forth, and everything was signed. Therefore, King Darius signed the decree. Now when Daniel, verse 10, knew that the writing was signed, this is a decree of the king according to what the people wanted, which was against what was right. You don't pray to nobody but the king. You don't devote to nobody but the king. Don't pray to your God. Daniel went home in the upper room, and his windows opened toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. And look at verse 13. They said, so they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. What did Daniel not compromise? He did not compromise his obedience to God. He did not compromise the privilege he had to pray to God. Don't let people hurt us and knock us down to where we do not pray. Well, there's a lot of valuable lessons we can learn from Daniel and from the things he did. And I hope, even though you already knew this morning, that we will look at him and say, well, Daniel lived in a time he was in captivity. Some people made some decrees that were not in accordance to God's will. He lived in a rough time when there was pressure on people, not just being in captivity, but they wanted them to do certain things that would have been unlawful toward God. Daniel had faith. He did not compromise. He held on to the things he believed that was dear to him. He prayed to God, and he kept his faith to God. And due to that, he was saved from the lion's den. A lot of good lessons. And so, I'm not a Daniel, and you're not a Daniel, and we don't live in that time. We're not in captivity, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the nation we live in, the freedoms we have, aren't you? But if that freedom was ever taken away, would we be able to do as Daniel and go ahead and pray, even in public, if we knew we were going to be arrested? Would we be willing to assemble, even though we knew we were going to be arrested? Would we be willing to take a stand against evil and say, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Right is right and wrong is wrong. God is our judge, and His Word tells us what to do. Would we be willing to take that stand? Hope the lesson will help us as Christians to keep the faith, serve God, and do His will. We've got about 10 minutes before the classes start, so we're going to offer the invitation. Willie's going to lead us. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.